Catholic commentary. You're returning a service. Spiritual warfare. AOM's clear, see, no trigger. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, two-man car. My name is Jesse Romero. I hear an echo, but it's okay. Jesse Romero, Paul Clay, we're 10-8. We're on duty for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, are you on duty?
Ready to go.
Today we want to talk about something that's very pressing, Paul, because it's all over the news and it's all over the church right now. It's about the homosexual infiltration into our schools, government, society, and even the Catholic Church. But before I do this, I just want to remind you that the month of July, as Catholics, it's dedicated to the most precious blood of Jesus. So we remember and we revere the blood of Christ spilled on Calvary by attending Mass as often as possible, receiving the Holy Eucharist as often as possible. Remember, the Eucharist is Christ's very own body and blood veiled in his Eucharistic presence.
Amen.
And so in prayer, we can place our sins and sufferings into the wounds of Christ, especially during Mass, during the double elevations. Just place your problems and your hands and your children's hands in the chalice, in the ciborium, there that so that Jesus Christ can wash us, renew us, heal us with his precious blood. And St. Thomas Aquinas says about the blood of Jesus, he says, it is the key to heaven's treasures.
Amen. Amen.
Paul, there's an article that I want to use as a point of departure to talk about today, because I want to go do a deep dive into what the saints, doctors, and fathers of the church have to say about homosexuality, the practice of homosexuality, which we call sodomy, which nobody's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, Jess, that does seem to be the one of the main topics for the world today, and definitely is impacting our church. And so it needs to be talked about, because the Catholic Church has a long history, as I think you're going to tell us, of dealing with this subject.
That's right. So let's launch this topic today. There's an article here. It's called, this is John Henry Weston, a good friend of mine. He's the president of LifeSide News. He's an amazing Catholic man. The letter says, my response to Pope Francis' letter to Father James Martin. So what is he talking about here? Unfortunately, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, sent homosexual-promoting priest Father James Martin a personal handwritten letter to encourage him in his ministry to LGBT Catholics. The problem is, Paul, he doesn't call anybody to repentance. He affirms their lifestyle, unlike the other authentic Catholic ministry to homosexuals called Courage, started by Father Harvey in New York. That's an authentic Catholic ministry towards homosexuals that calls them to repentance, that helps them, facilitates them in changing their lifestyle back to a normal lifestyle, and one where they order their passions.
Jess, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's easy for a lot of people these days to say that somehow, you know, we're being unloving. And I think people on the side of Father Martin, they make these claims that somehow we're being unloving. Are we being unloving toward people who suffer from this affliction, Jess?
Oh, absolutely not, because the most loving thing you can do is pull somebody out from the fires of hell. Because people fall in this lifestyle, and in any lifestyle of sexual perversion, they're jumping over the trap doors of hell. And so when you have the opportunity to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and help them reorder their lifestyle and reorder their intellect, what you're doing what the Bible says in the book of James chapter 5. You're saving a soul, and if you save a soul from the error of his ways, you will save your own soul.
Amen. You know, this is kind of, you know the old saying, we love the sinner, but we hate the sin. I think that's what you're getting at, right?
Absolutely. And that's that goes back to St. Augustine, 4th century doctor of the church. He's the one that actually came up with that. It's not like some modern American, you know, colloquial, you know, axiom. It's that goes back to one of the greatest church fathers of all time. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. but Paul, the what's going on here is John Henry Weston, he's criticizing in charity the letter sent by the Holy Father to Father James Martin, because what it does is breed confusion around the world. And in fact, yep. there's so much confusion around the world on this topic, even in the church, that I'm looking at another article on Church Militant's website. It says, U.S. Catholic bishops attend conference promoting same-sex marriage. It's got the names of a bunch of bishops. It says from June 21st to 24th, the Association of the United States Catholic Priests, AUSCP, held this annual assembly in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and participating in the conference were many Catholic bishops like Archbishop John Wester of Santa Fe, New Mexico, Bishop Richard Pates of Crookston, Minnesota, Bishop William Wack of Pensacola, Florida. And so when the Holy Father is ambiguous or soft on a sin such egregious as the sin of sodomy, what this does, this lets the more liberal leaning prelates in the U.S. to say, I guess there's new rules now in the Catholic Church, and we can go to one of these, you know, New Ways Ministries conferences. And by the way, New Ways Ministries was condemned by Pope Benedict XVI. They were censured by the prior two popes, in fact, John Paul II and Pope Benedict. Yeah.
Yep, Jess, you said it right. This is confusion. You know, and I hate to say it, but you know, I can't judge, you know, what's going on in the mind and the heart of the Holy Father, but he has to realize, it's not difficult to realize that when you're have a lack of clarity on issues that are so pressing today and affect so many people and literally shipwreck souls. Mm. As the vicar of Christ, Jess, you have to be clear. You have to speak the truth. You have to be counterculture. You know, the sacred scripture tells us, do not marvel if the world hates you. You know, if you're speaking the truth, Jesus says, don't be surprised. They will hate you. Why? Because the world is not compatible. The spirit of this world, the God of this world, and God, little g, that is, Satan, you know, is not compatible and is at, you know, is continually locked in a battle against everything good and everything holy.
That's right. And John Henry Weston quotes one of a passage that's a favorite of mine for these times, 2 Timothy chapter 4. John Henry Weston quotes St. Paul, who warned all of us, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, close quote. Guess what? The Apostle Paul, to the Gentiles, he strictly directed this to the bishops, to Bishop Timothy of Crete. And so he's telling one apostle to a bishop to fulfill his ministry. Doesn't matter what happens. He says, I charge thee, Timothy, before God and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead by his coming and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove and treat, rebuke in all patience and doctrine. What saddens me, Paul, is that that's not happening right now at the present time in our church. There's ambiguity coming from the highest office. Yes. And St. Paul tells the Corinthians that, I mean, unless people hear the trumpet, people are not going to rally to battle. Catholics are not hearing the trumpet, Paul. It's silent.
Yeah, listen, you can only imagine living in the days of St. Paul and St. Timothy. When Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, told him to preach the word, he was literally saying, and when you do that, they will try to kill you. They will persecute you, because that's exactly what happened. Paul preached the word. Peter preached the word. And what was their end, Jess? martyrdom. And martyrdom was the end for so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, the saints in the early church. This is where we're at today. If you speak the truth in love, you're gonna have the world attack like nobody's business. They are going to attempt to ruin you, in cancel you, to do whatever they can in order to push this agenda, which is an unholy agenda, which is the agenda that is it's anti-life, Jess. There's no life in a homosexual relationship. It is incapable of producing life. And God is the God, you know, Mary, our mother, she, you know, she's the new Eve, the mother of all the living. Jesus says, I came that they might have life. And we see that the culture of this world is everything opposite life, pushing relationships that are incapable of promoting life.
That's right. That's why John Paul II coined that term, that we're living now in the times of the culture of death, because that describes everything that modern man is embracing right now. You're listening to Jesus 911. This is our Monday show. We hope you had a great 4th of July weekend, a happy, holy, blessed 4th of July weekend, and we'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 two-man car. My name is Jesse Romero. I'm here with Paul Clay. And we're talking about, again, several bishops went to this. Again, it's the usual suspects. I mean, I'm just very, very pained by having to report this, that the regular suspects in the U.S. Catholic bishops attended a conference promoting same-sex marriage. The articles on Church Militants, very well documented.
Here's a great way to...
Also, John Henry West, it has a great article that we basically alluded to. We didn't read it. It's called My Response to Pope Francis' Letter to Father James Martin. If you didn't hear, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, sent homosexual promoting priest Father James Martin a personal handwritten letter this week to encourage him in his ministry to LGBT Catholics. And by the way, this ministry of LGBT Catholics has been condemned by the past two popes. And all of a sudden, this ministry now seems to be resurrected under the Francis papacy. Paul, you told me you had a good homily yesterday. Go ahead. I had a very good one myself, but go ahead and share what you heard yesterday.
Just changing the fact, because you mentioned, Jess, talking about, you know, Independence Day and what all that means. And Father yesterday, he talked about what does it mean to freedom of religion? It doesn't mean, I mean, a lot of people interpret that as, hey, I can go to whatever church I want and, you know, and I don't have to worry about, you know, the government shutting me down. Well, while that's true, there's so much more to freedom of religion, Jess. What he talked about is it's freedom to live out our faith. That's the freedom that the Constitution, the Bill of Rights mention. We're free to go out and live out our faith. And we know that that's true because Jesus said, not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. So it's not enough to just, it's kind of like faith in God. You just can't have intellectual assent and say, oh, God's up there. No, you have to worship him with your body, worship him with your life. You have to repent and lose your life in Christ. And this is essentially what, you know, what Father said yesterday is, listen, we need to go out. Jesus commanded us to go out into the world. And while we're into the world, we honor God with our lives. We model what it means to be a disciple for Christ. And we don't just give lip service to it.
Amen. What? Yeah. Seems like you got a rock solid homily yesterday. Praise God.
I did
too. Yep. I got one similar to yours, Paul. In the last two paragraphs of John Henry Weston's articles. Look at something prophetic that was said there. The last two paragraphs of John Henry Weston's article. It says, John Henry writes this, quote, "This is not my estimation, but that of the Pope Benedict XVI. In an address given only 18 days prior to his election of the pontificate and one day prior to the death of Pope John Paul II, then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger said, quote, "Very soon it will not be possible to state that homosexuality, as the Catholic Church teaches, is an objective disorder in the structuring of human existence," close quote. Yes.
How prophetic.
The time may come, the time may be coming shortly when we are forbidden to state the basic truths of the Church. Will we then have the courage to proclaim Christ's truth with the possibility of losing our freedom? By the way, that's what the Equality Act is all about, that the Democrats just passed, rammed through. Or perhaps, going back to the article, or perhaps even shedding our blood. If we choose silence now because of cultural pressures, the loss of human respect and political calculations, how can we imagine that when the penalties are increased to include imprisonment and possibly even torment and death, we will dare to speak the truth of Christ? That's a challenge to all of us, Paul, to put on our big boy pants.
Yeah, and that is, you know, given to us from Benedict the 16th, right, Jess? You know, Pope Benedict the 16th minced no words. He said it like it was. He was clear, and he lets all the faithful know what's in store. And essentially he's saying, listen, troops, we're getting ready to go into battle. We're going to be tested. And some of us, you know, are going to fall in the battle, but it's okay, because we will win the battle. We will be victorious.
Amen.
That's the kind of clarity that Church Militant needs today. We don't need to hear, you know, ambiguity, like you say, or,
nope,
you know, somebody who's silent on the issues or acts like these things don't exist.
And even our Lord says, Paul, in the New Testament, he talks about duplicity. In other words, he chided the Pharisees and Sadducees for speaking both sides out of their mouth. That's called duplicity. You say one thing to one audience and something to another audience. You tailor your message based on your audience. That's called the sin of duplicity, saying something totally different when you're in the presence of another audience.
Yeah, and what saith?
Yeah.
And what saith Sacred Scripture? A double-minded man, he is unstable in all his ways.
Ways. Yep. Paul, we get emails to the show, and I generally answer them, and I said, you know, today there's two emails are about this topic that I want to share with our listeners, because they specifically talk about this issue of sodomy. Mm-hmm. So the first question that somebody asked in the show, they said, Jess, you described the act of homosexuality as beast-like. That's not a Catholic manner of speaking. How can you defend that statement? So I'll read my answer. I'll let you read the Church Fathers section that I quoted, but I'll read the preface. Here's what I responded. I said, the word beast-like means, according to the dictionary, it means cruel, coarse, filthy, the crude animal nature common to humans. This is precisely what the act of sodomy is. Prisons are governed by the law of the jungle. Only the strong survive. And you and I, Paul, have some experience there. Mm-hmm. That is why stronger prisoners with cruelty and evil design in their hearts allow their lower fallen nature to take over and forcibly sodomize the weaker prisoners. This is beast-like behavior, plain and simple. If the Catechism of the Catholic Church says in 2357, basing itself on sacred scripture, which presents homosexual acts as acts of grave depravity. Tradition has always declared that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. They are contrary to the natural law. Now, there's some terms that the Catechism uses that may not be familiar with to a lot of people. So what is grave depravity mean? Grave means something seriously or something critical. Depravity means morally bad or corrupt or pervert and evil. So this specific wording, these two words together, grave depravity means something that's seriously and critically bad, corrupt, perverted, and evil. This is how the church describes the act of sodomy. And let me just put it out there in case you're wondering, if there's any questions. That's even regarding to man on woman sodomy. This is evil. It's perverted. It's grave depravity. Paul?
Yeah, it's funny. I like to just think of when you hear grave is, hey, you're one step from the grave because you're flirting with death here. This is a serious.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's good insight. Paul, Father, I quote some of the two of the fathers of the church. If you want to quote what St. Justin Martyr said about this and what year that was.
Yeah, 151 A.D. We're going deep back into church histories. St. Justin Martyr. We have been taught that to expose newly born children is the part of wicked men. And this we have been taught, lest we should do anyone harm, and lest we should sin against God. First, because we see the almost all so exposed, not only girls, but also males, are brought up into prostitution. And for this pollution, a multitude of females and hermaphrodites, and those who commit unmentionable iniquities are found in every nation. And you receive the higher of these, the duty and taxes from them, whom you ought to exterminate from your realm. And anyone who uses such persons besides the godless and infamous and impure intercourse may possibly be having intercourse with his own child or relative or brother. And there are some who prostitute even their own children and wives, and some are openly mutilated for the purpose of sodomy, and they refer these mysteries to the mother of the gods. Now, Jess, why don't you explain a little what's going on, because that's some deep stuff.
Yeah, this is a pagan culture here that the early Catholic Christian, it was a Hellenistic culture. The pagans had many gods, and many of the gods here in pagan the Old Testament and in the beginning of the early church, they had rites that included sexual orgies in front of these deities of theirs. They would erect these big statues of these false gods, these pagan gods, and they would have liturgical rituals. And in that, there was also men on men, men on boys. So sodomy was part of these liturgical ritual rites that were practiced in front of these pagan deities in these pagan temples. And they would also be under the influence as they would engage in these sexual orgies. This is the context that St. Justin Martyr is speaking about to Catholic Christians back at the end of the first century.
Yep. You know, and that's pretty amazing, Jess, because, we see society today, I guess, as Christianity is being assailed, the Catholic Church is being assailed. We see these same ideas being put forth today. And you see, I believe that's a way that the devil and the demons, they mock God when they had these sex temples and they had, homosexuality and just fornication to these false gods. It may not be as laid out as it was in the first century, but that's essentially what we have today, right?
Absolutely. It's come back again because we reverted to a pagan culture. We're no longer a Christian nation. It's not because Barack Obama said so. It's because it's just a fact when you look around at our culture. If there's one thing that's truthful that he said, it was that statement. We're not a Muslim nation, so he was wrong there. But we are a post-Christian nation. We are a pagan culture once again. And this is a right mission field, Paul. That's why you and me are missionaries for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus 911 will continue on this topic, doing a deep dive on the church fathers and what they have to say about the sin of sodomy. Don't change that dial.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Happy Independence Day. Well, we just celebrated it yesterday, but we celebrate not only our independence from the Brits, but we also celebrate our independence from the devil, from sin, and from eternal damnation by what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And so we have a lot to rejoice, Paul, our independence from going to hell and being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must cooperate with that grace that he's given us from Calvary. Paul?
Son shall set you free. You shall be free indeed.
Amen.
And that's the independence that we celebrate.
That's right. We're doing a deep dive. We're looking at what the some of the church fathers, some of the doctors and saints of the church had to say about the sin of sodomy. I mean, just because let's be open about it. This is one of the four sins in the catechism that says it cries the vengeance of God from heaven. Paul, there's another quote there from Tertullian. What does that one say?
Okay. It says, other frenzies of the lusts which exceed the laws of nature and are impious toward both human bodies and the sexes, we banish not only from the threshold, but also from all shelter of the church, for they are not sins so much as monstrosities.
Again, the point that I'm making is that I've said that the act of sodomy is beast-like. Well, there's two fathers of the church. One says, the first one you quoted was, he says, unmentionable iniquities. This father of the church says he calls it monstrosity. And so when I say it's beast-like, I think I'm in good company. Paul, what does St. Cyprian of Carthage call this?
Okay. He calls it embruted. So let's just read his quote really quick. Oh, if placed on that lofty watchtower, you could gaze into the secret places. If you could open the closed doors of sleeping chambers and recall their dark recesses to the perception of sight, to you would behold things done by immodest persons which no chaste eye could look upon. You would see what even to see is a crime. You would see what people embruted with the madness of vice deny that they have done and yet hasten to do. Men with frenzied lusts rushing upon men, doing things which afford no gratification even to those who do them. Embruted, by the way, just means to degrade to the level of a beast. So you were right on point.
And look at Paul, the last sentence that you just read from St. Cyprian, where he says, men with frenzied lust rushing upon men, doing things which afford no gratification even to those who do them. That's a reference.
And what's going on today, Jess? There are people who are advocating, people who have, who are clergy members in our church advocating that we bless these unions somehow.
The German bishops.
Yes.
German bishops.
Wow, that we pray and ask God's blessing.
How
not
far
on the people.
Yeah. Paul, how far we have fallen, Paul. How far the mighty have fallen. I'm talking about bishops here. How far the mighty have fallen. These are the generals in the battlefield who have fallen, Paul.
Yeah, I remember, Jess, when I, I'm a revert to the Catholic Church. And, even as a Protestant, I remember when it came to certain sin in my life and how to overcome that sin, all I had to do was think, can I ask God to bless me in this? Can I pray for this? Can I truly pray for this with a clear conscience? You know, and you can't do that. You can't say, Lord, bless me in my sin. Bless me in this. I mean, I couldn't find it in myself to ask God's blessing. If I couldn't do that, then I couldn't do it. Then it was sin for me to do.
You use what St. Paul calls in Romans 2:15, the law that God has written in your heart, the natural law. And that's a way also to gauge your practices. Of course, it becomes perfected. Your conscience becomes perfected when the natural law is infused with divine law. Then you really have a good moral conscience. Paul, what about the opposite? There's a document called the Apostolic Constitutions. It's an old document. Does this kind of justify my usage of the word beast-like for using sodomy on the radio? What does it say?
Okay, and this is 400 AD, the Apostolic Constitutions. Abhor all unlawful mixtures and that which is practiced by some contrary to nature as wicked and impious.
So again, the context of all these fathers of the church that you're talking about, let's remember, if you want to know the context, is pagans have always tried to infiltrate the true religion. For example, in Exodus chapter 32, verses 17 to 19, let me read this story to you. It says, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear. And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tables out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And here's something important. Verse 19 that I just read to you, where it says, when Moses came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, what's the word dancing? It's a Hebrew word that means sexual orgy. Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets of the Ten Commandments, and he looks at his people emulating exactly what the pagans do in their liturgical cults of orgy inside their temple. He saw them doing the exact same thing and dancing to music. This is why Moses burned with anger. And this is why the church fathers, these four quotes that you just shared, Paul, this is the context of these quotes in reference to the sin of sodomy. This act that the catechism calls grave depravity. And we've already defined what grave depravity meant.
Yes.
Paul, we've been here before.
Yep.
There's a famous saint, and I'm going to want you to read from the Saint Peter Damian, who lived in the 11th century. The church got infiltrated in the 11th century by homosexual practices at the highest places. And Saint Damian back then was kind of like he was the Saint John the Baptist of the time. And we need a lot of Saint Peter Damians right now. In fact, there's a book that's written, it's called The Book of Gomorrah, and Saint Peter Damian's struggle against ecclesiastical corruption. This book includes the writings of St. Peter Damian called the Book of Gomorrah. Paul, if you can share that paragraph with us, because this describes the book and what St. Peter Damian did to clean up the church in the 11th century.
Yeah, and just before I read that, Jess, you just reminded me of, once again, the great Dr. Scott Hahn, who says, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. Like you said, like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. We've been here before. These attacks, you know, what they do is they just get magnified and magnified. And as we, you know, move closer toward the second coming of Christ,
that's right.
It gets larger and larger and larger. So anyway, the Book of Gomorrah and St. Peter Damian's struggle against ecclesiastical corruption includes a complete translation of Damian's Book of Gomorrah, as well as an extensive account of the saint's battle against the terrible corruption in the church of his day. He fearlessly rebuked popes and bishops in the quest to restore the integrity of the Catholic priesthood and the morals of the faithful. He also successfully confronted the German Emperor Henry IV to protect the sacrament of marriage and prevent him from receiving an easy annulment. St. Peter Damian in the Book of Gomorrah gives an eloquent and impassioned denunciation of a plague of homosexuality among the Catholic clergy during the 11th century. Just so you know, the one thing about our church that I love is that, you know, we're not sola scriptura people. So, yeah. You know, there's people that try to look at the Bible and twist its meaning. And because they're not Catholic, they can go outside of orthodoxy to interpret the scriptures. But we in the Catholic Church, we have we have the magisterium of the church.
Amen.
We have sacred tradition along with sacred scripture. And so there is no way possible for a Catholic to be able to deny. We're quoting today St. Peter Damian. These are saints recognized by the church.
That are in heaven right now.
That are in heaven right now. The church has already declared that. We're quoting doctors of the church, that the church recognizes that their teachings are efficacious for us. So there's no way in order to gain and merit heaven. There's no way we can deny what the church Mother Church has taught us on these issues. And to abandon it now would be to basically this group that are saying the things that they're saying now are basically saying the church then has no authority. You know, God does not change his mind, Jess. He's immutable from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. With
Amen.
Him, there's no shifting nor shadow of change. And this is what we have to recognize. And this is what we have to stand up for. We have to realize, and I quoted this on many shows before, I will not be afraid, though 10,000 set themselves against me round about. We need to stand strong and in this time.
Amen. Preach it. Preach it. Stick around. Don't turn that dial. We're going to continue quoting the church fathers on the sin of sodomy and the moral clarity that they speak with. You don't want to miss what's up. St. John Chrysostom and more. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
The month of July is dedicated to the precious blood of Jesus. Precious blood of Jesus, wash us, Lord, and make us new. Amen. Talking about St. Peter Damian, this was the John the Baptist of the 11th century. In the Book of Gomorrah that he wrote, he gives an eloquent denunciation, an impassioned denunciation of the plague of homosexuality amongst the Catholic clergy during the 11th century. I mean, this is about 1,000 years ago, the Book of Gomorrah, but when you read it, it seems addressed to our own times, associating the phenomena of clerical homosexuality and pederasty and endorsing the imprisonment of clergy who are a danger to youth. In the Book of Gomorrah, St. Damian warns Pope Leo IX that, quote, the cancer of sodomitic impurity is creeping through the clerical order, close quote. St. Peter Damian decries the sexual abuse of, quote, spiritual sons by Catholic priests, close quote. Peter Damian warns that all those habituated to homosexual behavior should be removed from the priesthood, and that the wrath of God is provoked against those who continue to offer the sacrifice of the Mass. St. Peter Damian writes to the clergy, quote, beware of inextinguishably inflaming the fury of God against you, lest by your prayers you more sharply provoke him whom you patently offend by your evil acts, close quote. The Book of Gomorrah provides a stark contrast to those in today's clergy who wish to treat the sin of sodomy as if it were a minor or trivial matter. According to St. Peter Damian, the evil of homosexual behavior surpasses, look at this quote here, when I, it, He makes me look like a small fry when I called it beast-like. He says, surpasses the savagery of all other vices, close quote, and is to be compared to no other, close quote. Mm. For this vice is the death of bodies, the destruction of souls, pollutes the flesh, and extinguishes the light of the intellect, expels the Holy Spirit from the temple of the human heart, introduces the diabolical inciter of lust. So St. Peter wow. Damian connects the act of sodomy with Satan.
Mm.
Throws into confusion and removes the truth completely from the deceived mind. He notes that, quote, whoever has soiled himself with the contamination of sodomitic disgrace, unless he is cleansed by the fulfillment of fruitful penance, can never have the grace of God, will never be worthy of the body and blood of Christ, and will never cross the threshold of the celestial homeland. Saint Damian expresses profound sorrow for those clergy who have fallen into sexual perversion, promising them that they can be liberated from the enslavement to sin by God and restored spiritually if they repent and do penance. St. Peter Damian, pray for us. Paul, what does St. John Chrysostom, doctor, father of the church, what does he have to say about this practice?
St. John Chrysostom, on the terrible passion of homosexuality, a doctor of the church affirms the gravity of this unnatural vice, saying the vice of sodomy surpasses the enormity of all others because without fail, it brings death to the body and destruction to the soul. It pollutes the flesh, extinguishes the light of the mind, expels the Holy Spirit from the temple of the human heart, and gives entrance to the devil.
There's the connection.
Yes.
There's the connection.
The stimulator of lust. It leads to error, totally removes truth from the deluded mind. It opens up hell and closes the gates of paradise. It is this vice that violates temperance, slays modesty, strangles chastity, and slaughters virginity. It defiles all things, sullies all things, pollutes all things. This vice excludes a man from the assembled choir of the church. It separates the soul from God to associate it with demons. Wow.
That's about as clear as you can get. St. John Chrysostom, pray for us.
Yes.
Here's another doctor of the church. Her name is St. Catherine of Siena. She lived right around the 15th century, so she's a medieval doctor of the church. And she let me give you the context of this quote here. She had God the Father spoke to her, just like God speaks to people in Scripture. We see that. That's called a locution, when God speaks to the soul of a person. So St. Catherine had conversations with God. She's a doctrix. That means a female doctor of the church. And she writes that the enemy, that demons, incite people to unnatural sins, homosexual acts, but that they don't stick around to see it happen because those acts are too repulsive even for them. So God the Father told her that the acts of sodomy are so contrary to nature that they offend their angelic intellect. Even though the demons are fallen and apostate, they want the sin to take place and they incite it, but it's so offensive to even the demons that they absent themselves when it is happening. St. Catherine makes it pretty clear what God thinks of sodomy and all unnatural acts that fall into that category that are so hideous, so offensive, are those sins of sodomy that even demons who provoke them won't stick around while they're being committed. In other words, so God the Father said this to St. Catherine, that don't get me wrong, demons rejoice in every sin and they're doing backflips and stuff. But that sin in particular, God revealed to St. Catherine that a demon has to turn and avert his gaze. Like, wow. whoa, this is so dark, even I can't look at this. And so, don't get me wrong, they incite it, they're happy that you're committing the sin, and you're sealing your fate in hell, but God the Father told St. Catherine, they can't look at two men wow. naked in this act. That's how wicked this is, Paul.
Yeah, that's sobering just to think about it, Jess. And I don't think there's anything that would provoke God more. I mean, when we look at the example in sacred scripture, God literally destroyed two great cities in the ancient world, Sodom and Gomorrah, and they are no more. They were completely wiped out. If that doesn't show you how God feels about it, then I don't know what will.
There's a good Catholic brother, his name's Joseph Ciambra. He wrote a book a couple of years ago. It's called Swallowed by Satan. Mm-hmm. He's from Northern California. He lives in the Diocese of San Francisco. He was a homosexual porn actor. He did snuff films for like 20 years. He had a conversion back to his Catholic faith, and now he's a militant Catholic in the streets of San Francisco, evangelizing people that he used to sleep with and do snuff lives. And so
wow.
the guy grew up in a stable and loving home while attending Catholic parochial schools from kindergarten through the 12th grade. But early on, the dark shadow of pornography would cloud his entire childhood and his teenage years. Throughout the 1990s, Joseph Ciambra, he lived around the homosexual culture of the Castro district, offering him rare insight into the daily lives and struggles of many gay men.
Mm-hmm.
Later, he became an amateur porn actor and escort. In 1999, he had a near-death experience, and Joseph returned to the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church. Since then, he has written extensively concerning the real-life issues of pornography, homosexuality, and the occult. He's got a BA from the University of Berkeley in Art and History and an MA from Sonoma State University. Mm. But in his book that I got on my shelf called Swallowed by Satan, in this one section, and I've interviewed him before, he said this also when I interviewed him. He says that during the act of sodomy, that he would see demons all over the room. Which
wow.
he says they would come all over the room. And he actually said, if there's kids listening, they won't understand this word. So I'm just going to caution if kids are listening. If you could remove them for about 10 seconds, because this is what Joseph Ciambra said. He says that during the act of sodomy, that he would see that demons would come out of the orifices of the persons being sodomized. And
wow.
he writes this in his book, and he says the whole room was enveloped with this. He says he saw this as clear as I'm looking at my friend Paul Clay right now, and as clear as I'm looking at my microphone. And so, again, Paul, this on the field report from a guy that lives right now in San Francisco, and he podcasts and write books, what he's saying about the act of sodomy conjuring up demons during the actual act, it comports to what St. Catherine was told by God the Father. It comports to what St. John Chrysostom wrote. It comports to what St. Peter Damian wrote. In other words, go ahead.
Yeah. So you might say, that's weird. How could this guy see demons like that? Well, you know what? God knew that he was going to deliver this man, and God knew that he was going to magnify his ministry. So God could have allowed easily for him to see these things, because God knew what he was going to do. God takes that which is not, Jess, in order to nullify the things that are. And that's why I love the Lord, and that's why I love the fact that we can share God in our weakness. It doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are out there. It doesn't matter what kind of vile things you've done. If you repent and do penance and return to the Lord, God will use you to do great and mighty things. Because when I am weak, I am strong. That's what we have to do as humans, Jess. We have to recognize that, our lowliness. The Lord identifies with the lowly. All we have to do is acknowledge our sin before God. Even when Cain sinned, what did he say? If you do right, that's all you have to do is, do the right thing. But he wouldn't. And what does the sacred scripture say? The sin was right there ready to consume him,
You know what? All of us, God will forgive any one of us for whatever we've done. We just have to have that Psalm 51 moment. That, oh, no, man, I've killed my friend Uriah, and I've taken his wife Bathsheba.
Yep.
That Psalm 51 moment. Have mercy on me, oh God. That's all you need, and God will take you back. Paul, I want to pray for all the people that are struggling right now with sexual perversions. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray for all of them, and we call Mary to put her mantle of love upon them. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
The Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray
for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us and set us free. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a wrap. End of watch, 10-7. We're out. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands On Apologetics.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests.